Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, right in the middle of the fake pandemic, so they can sell more vaccines and raise the stock on the different companies involved. There's three or four companies that are making it, plus Gillen, the company that actually came up with the idea of it. But anyway, this is May 2nd, the day after May Day, and we're going to have a nice little serenade for you here. So without any further ado, let's just rock and roll. Check us out on YouTube, or Ustream, rather. Email me, fredbell@paradigm.com.
How to use some of the extraterrestrial sciences, how the body works, these kinds of things. I'm sure most of you are aware of the changes that are going on the planet. Was everybody here at my lecture yesterday, pretty much? Or is anybody that wasn't? You were all not here? Okay. Because we talked about the human aura yesterday a little bit and how that's being affected in the planetary changes. But what's happening basically is that the Earth and the Sun and the whole solar system is moving around the Pleiades. And that's why the Pleiades is such a, you know, a conversation. And I've been a contactee of Pleiadians since 1971. And the contacts began to wind down in 1989 because the Pleiadians could no longer work or get any closer to the human affairs than they had through different contactees and channels. There's still some channeling going on, but this contacting stuff's kind of ending, except for some activity that's happening down south of the equator. And the reason it's happening down there is because that civilization down there is a little bit behind the times as the one is up here. And having spent like almost 20 years with Semyasi and different other Pleiadians, I asked her, I said, well, why are we winding this down? I mean, your science, your technology is so much more in advance than ours is. Why are we making a contact switch? And she said, because Pleiadians cannot handle getting involved more than kind of like getting into the emotional body of man. They communicate through the emotional body of man. And doing this, if they get any closer on the physical contact, it will cause karmic backlashes to their own worlds. So for this reason, more of the advanced contactees like myself have been switched over to different groups. Billy Myers, as you know, has probably switched two or three times different groups through his existence here. The Andromedans, on the other hand, will get more involved with world affairs. And they will directly intervene, and they have already started to do that. That intervention has already been felt, and I'll try to lead up to some of that. Meanwhile, since back in the 50s, the extraterrestrials, known as the Greys, have been interfering with human events, causing, you know, trying to manipulate the human race, playing around with the government by the auspices of introducing advanced superior technologies. And I'm sure some of you remember the Popular Science magazine from last March. Some of the, how many of you remember that, seeing the aurora on the front cover? Did all of you see that, or some of you not see it? I've got some back here, just as I was going through these notes. I've got some pictures of just some of the ideas of what the technology has done. Drag these out. This is one of the things that I was talking to some people about yesterday. It's one of my common goals, is that why do we even have NASA anymore when we have such advanced spacecraft? One is called the Pumpkin Seed, which is in flight now. It's called a single-stage entry vehicle. We have pictures of, this is not exactly the one that's called the Aurora, but this is another single-stage entry vehicle that we have. Not the Aurora. The Aurora I've seen is much larger than this even. And when it comes down, it's a lot of ship coming down. Sure. Let me just get them all together here, and I'll pass some of them around. The one they have, they call the mothership, which we've seen in Area 51. So you can get just an idea of the size of this thing. The TR-3 Mana is another one. I'll pass these around. You'll have to kind of hook them up. But this is the technology that they gave us in exchange for the right to abduct human beings, to do genetic experiments on human beings, which supposedly, according to the agreement, they weren't going to do, but of course they are. Well, it's over 300,000. For example, you know the TR-117 that's out now, which is the stealth fighter. It's been obsolete ever since they brought it out. It was replaced by the TR-3 Manta, which is this, looks like that. That's the current one, which flies much higher than the 117. The 117, the only thing that's classified on it now is the instrumentation. I've talked to several 117 pilots. And this is some old stuff, but here you guys can just pass it around, you know. Bottom line is that we need to understand more about what's going on with our systems. And what we do is we teach people to become energy doctors. Okay, so you learn how to diagnose your own body, your own ailments. And believe me, I've been a target for the grays for a number of years, and I always get some strange things hitting me all the time, all the time. If I go to a regular doctor and try to get diagnosed or treated in a regular method, they have no idea how to deal with me. So I have to fight these things that come on me, you know, as they do. And what we do, though, is once we teach you how to become an energy doctor, then what we do is you'll start, your life will change a lot. When your life begins to change, what happens is you'll find a direction that's probably more spiritual satisfying, you know. PMS, for example, in women, it's not a physical disease. It becomes a physical disease because the astral body is starved for purpose. Cancer is another one. Cancer is a will-to-live disease. Once again, the spirit is starved. And our society has a tendency, by being what it is, to starve our spirit for purpose, because this is what manipulation is all about, okay? And what people don't realize is that with the, you know, oncoming onslaught of the grays and their influence and other negative extraterrestrials such as the lizard people, I know there's three different ones working with the government that have offices in Wright-Patterson base right now in Ohio. With these technologies coming on, the American public is not even close to realizing what's going on. And you see the split come out in the violence, like Orange County, where I live, for example. Our murder rate is probably approaching what New York City was a few years ago. Santa Ana is considered now one of the most deadliest small towns in Southern California for suicides and drive-by shootings and murders and homicides. It's ridiculous. This is little old Orange County that 10 years ago was a bunch of orange. And like this one guy in Santa Ana was being interviewed the other day on TV. He says, well, I moved down from East L.A. 15 years ago to Santa Ana. He says, there's more violence in Santa Ana than there was in East L.A. when I lived there, you know. So it's spreading. Even Laguna Beach, where I live, it used to be the chilling out zone for the different gangs. Now we have drive-by shootings in very close to the perimeters of Laguna Beach, you know, like in El Toro, which is next door, or Laguna Niguel, which is next door, which is like 3 miles away. And then, of course, the spiritual purification of the fire that we just went through is another good example. But that has to do with the auric cleansing of the planet versus the drive-by shootings. But these are the kinds of things that are going on. Then you have your ELF waves, ELF warfare, which is very powerful and very influential in major cities. The ELF testing grounds or proving ground was Berlin. And before the wall came down, if any of you ever visited Berlin, you get a real taste of what ELF waves are like. But now ELF waves are everywhere, and they influence you through the ground wire here in your plug. It comes in through here. And I'll show you during the seminar what the ELF does to your metabolism. I just want to make you aware of some of these things. Nutrition is another area that's being attacked. Always has been attacked by the establishment. Not that the establishment doesn't understand it. The establishment understands it only too well. So as a result, every time a vitamin is found or an herb is found to help the body heal itself, you know, because nothing cures you. You have to cure yourself, but there's things that assist the body in healing. Anytime that they find something that's good for you, you used to create a scare. You know, for example, we had the vitamin A scare because it works in your immune system and you don't get sick as often. We had a B6 scare because it helps reverse Parkinson's disease, and that was a big thing. They took away tryptophan because it was killing the Valium market to the tune of $150 million a year. All these things were going on. So now, finally, what the government decided to do, say the hell with it on vitamins, we'll just take them all away from the people. And that's what they're trying to force through now, the legislation, where you have no rights to go to a health food store and buy anything. And that should go through on December 15th. Of course, it's being fought, but I mean, that's the bill that's currently up now. Just take away all your vitamins and all your herbs, minerals. You'll have to get a prescription, and then you'll get synthetics, which are even worse. So these are the kinds of things that are going on now. So it becomes necessary to arm yourself and understand what these things do to you and how they work. The other side of the coin is the astral side of the coin, which frustrates the problem because we are rotating around the Pleiades, every 25,000 years, and we're going through these different sub-periods, which are called ages, and we have a higher level of integrating soul or incarnating soul coming in now. This causes a opening in the astral plane where it comes down in the physical plane. So therefore, where you used to go in your dreams becomes a living state of beingness now. And this is where the threshold of immortality lies and all these kinds of things. However, because of the way the astral plane is created, which I'll show you in a little bit, and how it manifests, the good and the bad exist all the way to the perfection, wherever that may lie. So you'll never get away from the good or the bad. What you have to do is get away from the desire to follow the evil path or the self-serving path. So the big thing to work with is transcending desire. And you can't surpass desire. When you suppress desire, you have side habits. You develop a whole host of bad habits. You have to face it square on and process it through your entire spiritual, mental, physical body. Okay? Once that happens, then you begin to control. You'll find that when you get up on the astral plane and the mental plane, especially on the astral plane, which is the main turf of the grays, that there's so much desire up there, but you'll find when you get your own personal desires under control that you'll be able to control the negative desires that are up there, and therefore influence and have tremendous influence. And this is done by causing your body to generate large amounts of radiation. But so first of all, I'll show you a little bit about how the body works. And of course, in an hour and a half or 2 hours, you never can do that much. Okay, first of all, the body is 5% mineral. Okay? This 5% mineral controls 95% of all metabolic functions. And the way that's done is that if you were to take an ordinary wire and took a battery across it, you would have electricity moving in the negative direction to the positive direction of the battery. So if you had a wire here and you had electricity moving negative to positive, you'd have magnetism at right angles. Okay? Basic law of electricity. Second thing is that's called direct current, DC electricity. The next thing is you have what's called alternating current. If you were to take the same wire and remove the battery and put a rotating north and south pole magnet. In other words, you would introduce magnetism into the wire and take away electricity. What would happen is, as the magnet traversed the wire, electricity would be found again inside the wire. So now you would have electricity moving back and forth, depending on the north pole, south pole polarity in the wire. And this creates alternating current, or AC, or a frequency-sensitive electromagnetic vibration. If you were to turn this magnet around at 60 cycles per second, you'd have the frequency of what's going on inside of a light bulb. If you were to turn it around at 1,000 cycles per second, you would have the frequency that you could hear. You'd have an audible sound. If you would turn it around millions of times per second, you would create a second phenomenon in electromagnetism, wherein it would not only vibrate so fast past sound, through electromagnetic energy would go into the aura of visible light. Okay? It would create light waves. If you were to go even more powerful and faster with it, you would go up into the frequencies of radiation. So all of the physical plane phenomenon of electromagnetic response and radiation, light, all of these things has to do with the vibration or vibrational frequency of electrons changing direction inside of a wire or inside of a medium. Okay? Does everybody understand that? Is there any questions on that? Okay? If you were to, as a human being, perceive sound, if you were as a human being to perceive light or break down light by color frequencies, you have to have inside your body a process whereby you can do the same thing internally as what you're observing externally. If the internal phenomenon is not possible, you become colorblind or sound deaf, tone deaf. All these kinds of things happen. So you have to, as a human, generate within yourself anything that you observe on the outside. Okay? Now, when you go into the phenomenon of a haunted house or an ET contact, or you look up in the sky and you see something and 10 other people don't, maybe you and one other person saw it, you're coming up now onto what I call the threshold frequencies of what your body is capable of generating in order to witness something. So some people they're very limited. If you were a very heavy, gross type of person in frequency, you probably wouldn't be able to see aura fields around other people, for example, because your body is not clear enough to interpret that. You follow what I'm saying? So it becomes important to, at some level, become a high-level sensitive. And that's what Pleiadian technology takes us through the door to becoming. That's what it has done for literally tens of thousands of people worldwide, Pleiadian technology. When we go into Andromedan technology, which we really won't get into in this seminar because the world is not ready for that yet, but we're coming up into that, we get into what's called a holographic consciousness. Once you are able to perceive what is in your environment on different planes, then you're able to perceive what is not in your environment in your local vicinity, but somewhere else in space and time. And that becomes the holographic concept, which is a little bit more advanced. What typically happens is that people start out with Pleiadian science and change their body structures over a period of 7 years with it in one way or another. It takes about 7 years to make the jump because that's how long it takes to rejuvenate every cell in your body from blood, which is 90 days, to the bones, which is 7 years. During that process, the people that are really into it go into what we call systems, which I'll talk about briefly. When you get into systems technology takes you into the realm where you start networking with other people in the world. Some people choose to become contactees. Some people tend to become networkers for working in the vortexes of the planet and changing vortex energy, these kinds of things. For example, of how a vortex works in Laguna Beach, where we live, we're in what I would call the center of the town, or almost towards the south side of town. We're on a mountaintop. We're on top of a volcano. We have a large vortex going up through the center of our house. This vortex has been managed by probably a few Tibetan masters have been there since they've had this house, but I'm sure the Indians, before the houses were even built in Laguna Beach, lived on these vortexes. This is where they came in the summertime to camp out and meditate. The Andromedans and the Pleiadians have been involved with these vortexes, and we've had contacts over them. We have a Pleiadian Andromedan system physically located on top of one of the vortexes, which is three stories up in a house that we live in. And we share that vortex. That vortex is hooked to all vortexes in the world. We have, for example, if we go to Sedona, we'll pick up from the vortexes there certain stones. We'll put them in the systems, which brings the energy there. Then we'll go to Greece and we'll pick up some energy from a temple there and we'll put them there. And from all over the world, from Hawaii, this is how you network into all the vortexes. Okay? This particular vortex that we live on is one of the more powerful ones. And through the center of the earth, through the earth's mantle and down to the core of the earth, all vortexes are connected anyway. And these are world grids. Okay? In Europe, they talk about them as ley lines. So this all becomes necessary. So anyway, now going back here, the source of the rotating magnet phenomenon in your body is minerals, okay? Your body, 5% minerals, it controls 95% of your metabolic functions. Over here is the brain. When I was at the University of Michigan years ago, we studied the phenomenon of the Japanese at the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bomb explosions. Some people were very close to the bomb where it went, like we call ground zero. They were right by the fireball. They were right by the heat and the radiation. These people, some of them, didn't have any radiation damage or genetic damage long term. Other people were 30 miles away and suffered tremendous damage. So why did the ones up close have no damage and the ones far away have a lot of damage in some cases? It's because they had, the ones that survived the radiation, had large amounts of herbs in their body called Fotai, Ginseng, and Gotokoa. And what these herbs do is they produce electrolytes in the brain. And these electrolytes make possible the brain's ability to generate its own electricity, which then becomes a form of radiation through the spinal cord. Okay, so this is why it's very important to have these forms of herbs. I had to fight with the FDA for a number of years before we could put ginseng, for example, in our vitamin formulas. In our vitamin formulas and our herbal formulas, we put ginseng and Fotai and Gotokoa. They would allow the Fotai and the Gotokoa because they didn't know these were electrolyte herbs, but they knew ginseng was, and they called it a tonic, and they didn't want that in there. In relating that to an automobile, for example, if you had a battery in your car, the battery wouldn't be any good if you didn't have electrolytes in it. If you didn't have a battery in your car is useless. So you have to look at it that way. Down through the body, you have 72,000 major wires called nadis. And these are divided into three different major networks, each network corresponding to a vibratory frequency in your body. For example, first of all, you have your low-frequency minerals. Your low-frequency minerals are magnesium, iron, calcium, these kinds of things. They work through the autonomic nervous system. And the autonomic nervous system provides the electricity to run organs like your breathing, your heart, things you don't think about. It's all the things in your body that go on that you're not thinking about that have something to do with sustaining life in your form had to do with the low frequency. Then you get into the defense network and the consciousness interpreting network, which is the mid-range frequency. The mid-range is the sympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic system centers its frequency off of a mineral called chromium. If you were to get sick, what would you think would be the first, you know, a virus, a cold, a flu, what would be the first thing you'd want to put in your body? Does anybody know? What's the first nutrient, like you'd buy at the health food store? Vitamin C? Now, vitamin C would be the third thing, probably, because vitamin C might feed the virus that's in there. Chromium was the correct answer. Chromium is the first thing you put in your body. Does anybody know why? Why would you put chromium in over vitamin C? Yeah, it has to do with fighting, exactly. It produces helper T cells. The first thing they'll do in any serious AIDS clinic is to get people in large amounts of chromium to start building helper T cells, okay? What's the second thing you want to put in your body? No. Vitamin A, exactly, to build your immune system. Okay, then you put in vitamin C and the other elements. Selenium, by the way, is used to rectify current in the body to keep electricity going one way in the nerves. Okay, which is very important to have it. It's very important. And germanium is also very powerful, but germanium is not allowed by the FDA anymore. Okay, it's been removed completely already. That's the illegal drug now. Mm-hmm. Take it off the market 30 days ago. Yeah. Zinc is very good for the immune system. In our nuclear receptor, in the lesser expensive ones, we use large amounts of zinc and cadmium. And the reason why we use zinc, a lot of people when they wear the receptor, if you look at it, in the what I call the lower cost ones, but they're very functional, they have a different frequency than these. But if you look at them, people that need zinc, the back of it, the gold plating, will be eaten off by electrolysis. You'll see it on people. And it'll turn zinc color because their body is just dissolving it. And these things get lighter. And if you look at the front, you'll see a swirl pattern that'll come up on the front on one that's been worn on a person that's really using it hard, and where the electrons have undeposited the gold and the gold energy has gone down into the body. You know, if you've had a receptor on for any length of time, you can look at it, and no two are ever the same because of the body energies, because it's an active device. All right. So chromium is very important. I'll be talking about that more in a minute. And it's like I say, germanium. See, where germanium and selenium work, let's say, for example, your brain tells your foot to move, right? Okay, it wants a straight shot of electricity right down to the foot, and then the foot moved. Okay, we don't need any more electricity going to the foot. Stop moving foot. So a feedback pulse has to come back, right? So what happens is without selenium or germanium, the body gets the electricity, in the case of Parkinson's disease, to keep the foot moving, but it doesn't know when to stop. I'll remember this in a minute, because I used to know all this stuff. Muscular dystrophy, there's no pulse getting down to the organ. It's a lack of a grounding problem. So muscular dystrophy is the opposite of Parkinson's disease, and both diseases require large amounts of selenium and germanium, and B6 in case of Parkinson's disease. B6 has to do also with the production of acetylcholine, which I'll get to in a minute. These are things that they always want to make illegal. Why? Because they got to have these diseases around to take your money, you know, otherwise, and you got to die. Americans can't be living long, you know. You got to realize that 12,000 years ago on Atlantis, before the Greys interfered with the destruction of Atlantis or helped it along, you know, human beings lived about 600-800 years. We didn't live as long as the Pleiadians, but we lived half as long. When the Greys came along, 12,495 B.C. in the scalar wars that they had, they flattened the human DNA curve right out to about 60, 70 years. And we're just now getting back up to 100. The Greys are masters at that. And the reason they flattened human life out, because we had 12,000 years of darkness to go through before we came into the age of light, and they didn't want humans to rise up and be powerful during the dark times because the Greys couldn't be here then. See, at certain times when the Earth goes around the Pleiades, a certain radiations comes from the Pleiades, which is called stellar influence. And during those certain times, the Greys can't be here because they can just burn up in this radiation. They can only be here at certain times. And they're here to scavenge human souls because they are group oversoul. They don't have individual souls. Okay, the third frequency, the third rate of vibration in the human body is the trace mineral. A trace mineral is the most important one of all, and it's not found in any form of nutrition. It has to be taken externally. Trace minerals have been removed from the surface of this earth since about the 1930s and 40s when the Dust Bowls came in. Okay, we brought some trace minerals, I think, for you to try, too, didn't we? You guys all try them already? So trace minerals are very important in the fact that they work through what's called the parasympathetic nervous network. Okay. And the parasympathetic nervous network is a series of nerves in another connection that works from the lobes of the ears to the gray matter on the stomach, and it provides what's called the psychic area of the body, or the energy, the consciousness of the body, that allows you to interpret the higher thoughts of God, meditation, channeling, ET contact, all the higher things that we do. It's a direct link to the higher levels. The next thing we have to look at is the enzyme factor in the body. The enzyme is, without enzymes you can't assimilate anything. And this is the pH factor. Does anybody understand pH, potential hydrogen, what that means? You all heard about it, right? Right. Drop this down a little bit. The alkaline balance isn't what I'm looking for. Can anybody go a little deeper on that? What? Yeah. Let's look at life force itself. Find a slide in here. This is further down. See, potential hydrogen has to do with the life force itself. We're made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen and carbon. The carbon atom is responsible for all the unification of all different cells in the body. So we have seven levels of consciousness. We have the physical, the astral, the mental, the intuitive, the Adamic, Medanic, and Logoic planes. All of these different planes of consciousness. In Pleiadian science, we learn all of these as rays or colors, because when you get into the rays or colors, it has to do with the Brahman science. But realize the Brahman science came here by the Rishis from the Pleiades 26,000 years ago, or one rotation period back, was given to us. So what the easiest way to learn this stuff and understand it is realize that you have seven chakras inside your body. Each chakra is over an endocrine gland. Each one of these chakras is represented by a sound, in other words, A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, musically. Each one of these is a vibratory frequency. And at one level, your body is nothing more than a whole light body, meaning that this is white light as it breaks down in the prism, right? That's the life force itself. Now, chemically, what that means is that we're made up of oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen, and carbon. The hydrogen atom, which is the pH factor in the body, becomes very important. The hydrogen atom is a proton and an electron. The electron goes around the proton. But that's about as far as physics gets you. That's not strong enough when you're dealing with interdimensional consciousness. What you have to realize is, what is the force that makes the electron go around the proton? And realize that if the body is reproducing about 52 million cells per second, if something is going on in the hydrogen atom, it's immediately affecting the cell reproductive frequencies of the body. It's instantaneous. So what happens is these seven levels of consciousness, this white light, feeds from the inside to the outside manifesting world as a hydrogen atom. And it comes in as a color. The central color is green, and it's the entire color of the rainbow that feeds the hydrogen atom. Okay? The hydrogen atom, in the morning when the sun comes up, receives the red part of the rainbow at the nucleus, the proton, and the violet part of the rainbow is received at the electron. In the morning, the sound frequency for the proton would be the musical note A, and would be the musical note G for the violet over here, and C would be the center frequency. And then what happens is during the day, as the sun goes through the sky, this changes polarity, and when the sun sets at night, the violet is shifted over to the proton, and the red has shifted over, and so has the musical note also. The sound mantram has also switched from G over to A over to G. So the sound changes, the light changes. And if you ever notice, when you get up in the morning, you have one consciousness. At midnight, the next night, or that night, you have a different consciousness. You ever notice? That's because it affects everything. Okay? This is very important. When you relocate someone where they're used to a particular cycle of time, like we just did last night, by changing the time, we get a little bit of shift in consciousness, getting up at different hours. But if you relocate somebody continentally or nationally, you end up with jet lag. Okay? And if you take somebody and shift them, you know, clear across a universe, they have a major case of jet lag. Just by taking a person away from the sun, okay, like taking a human being away from the sun, immediately the body stops utilizing calcium. It doesn't produce calcium anymore. This is very important because if you take somebody away from the sun and they don't produce calcium, they'll die of heart failure within a certain period of time. And this is one of the greatest compounding facts that they're doing. They were deheading rats the other day trying to figure out, on the space shuttle, on the Columbia, trying to figure out what this is all about. And they'll never understand it because they don't understand how to introduce the energies of the seven levels of consciousness into a spacecraft, like the shuttles, okay? This is NASA's biggest problem right now, okay, understanding this. Their astronauts cannot exist. Pleiadians don't have that problem. Why? Because the Pleiadians use a propulsion system that generates the same energy as the sun, and they stabilize their metabolism to the propulsion system because it's a healing life force thing. You understand? These are the kinds of things that you get into when you get into space science, but I'm just showing you where the taxpayer money at NASA is going right now is to solve this problem. Okay, and why they're, you know, this is called space medicine. So the pH factor is very important. Okay? There's a lot of ways, like when you travel on jets, there's a lot of things you can do to deal with this problem. The other interesting thing is that this center frequency, which is green, which is, by the way, a female energy, whereas these others are male energies, the color of nature, it never shifts. It's a constant. The female energy is a constant thing on the body all the time. Now we go from the enzymes to the vitamins. Okay, what is a vitamin? A vitamin is a unit of biochemistry containing light frequencies. Okay, that's what a vitamin is. So that means, very simply, that each vitamin that you know, vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, would fall once again into a color or frequency of light. And when you know how to diagnose your body as deficiencies of light, you can use light and the vitamins right, you know, side by side. For example, the immune system likes to see red. If you go down to our booth, you'll see red lasers firing in the crystals. This builds the immune system. That's why we use them, because it puts the astral body, the astral energies, right down on the physical plane in its pure form of vitamin A. Okay, vitamin C, for example, is a very powerful vitamin out of nature. Right, it's very much in plant life. It's green. It falls into the green spectrum. The mental plane, which is yellow, which is also intuitive plane rather, which is yellow. The intuition, you know, the sensing of the body, is the B complex. And whenever you get paranoid, for example, paranoia is the destruction of, you put some substance or done some or lack some substance in your body and you get paranoid, which is created by smog, alcohol, drugs, tobacco, stress. These all produce paranoia. It becomes a massive B deficiency. So you put the B complex into the body. The B complex, we use them in our vitamins, but we go all the way out to B17. But the AMA would prefer that the public, before they took all our vitamins away, would have stopped at B6. Okay? Why would they stop at B6? Because the vitamins from B12 to B17 are called nitrilicides. Nitrilicides deal with toxic energies that are put into our foods as part of the killer program to kill people. These are nitrates, monosodium glutamates, all the stuff that are used preservatives, irradiation of food, stripping of a husk, vitamin A and D in milk. All these things cause you not to have a perfect functioning intuitive body, become paranoid and get diseases like cancer, and they have terms like carcinogenic that are attached to them. You follow me? So it becomes necessary when you understand all this stuff. I don't expect it to get it all now. It's in my tape series and my seminars that we do in Laguna and stuff. We go into it way deeper. But I'm just giving you an overview today of a door that you can go through to really understand where your feelings and emotions come from. You know, if you can't do it for yourself, you might be able to do it for your children. So vitamins are units of biochemistry containing light. We go from vitamins to protein. Now we're getting a heavier substance. We get protein, we're getting down into carbohydrates and fats. We're getting into things that become soluble. We get into things that you can sense. Like, for example, runaway protein is cancer in the body if it becomes malignant. Malignant means it's spreading. Benign means it's just one tumor. The only difference. Protein, we go into peptides, polypeptides, neuropeptides, and from there, we go into the hormone. The hormone is the first unit of biochemistry that possesses consciousness. Okay? Everybody understand that? Any questions on what we've covered so far? Now, I'm going to show you something. Before I go too far, I want to show you something, how ELF works. Okay? Now, in your body, if you don't have hormones, you don't have consciousness. No sexual hormones, no sex, no desire, nothing. If you don't have any vasopressin, which is a pituitary hormone, or oxytocin, you won't have any creativity. You won't have any positive feelings. If you don't have epinephrine, norepinephrine, which are hormones from the stomach area, solar plexus area, you'll have no energy. You may have a lot of creativity, but you're laying flat in bed and can't get out of it. So you have to have hormones to do anything that has to do with the body being involved. If you want to go into your astral body and do everything there and forget the physical body, then you don't need hormones. But you might need hormones to keep your physical body alive. You understand how important they are. Okay, now, what happens is, the first thing that they started to do, they created what's called the B3 scare, the niacin scare, which they're still putting pressure on, which is a very important enzyme in the body, because what niacin does is it gets rid of the toxic effects of ELF and other food substances that go in the body. Extremely low frequency waves. They were developed during World War II, during submarine warfare. Communications. Of course, they've gone a long way since then. They're working on ELF research currently at Scripps Laboratory down in San Diego, and a lot of different facilities are working on ELF. What happens is, the body. Now we're going to go back to the intelligence now, I'm going to make another point real quick. We're going to go back up a step before minerals, which is called DNA. Okay? Everybody know what DNA is? Okay, DNA is deoxyribonucleic acid. Okay? Now, this is a side conversation here, okay, about DNA. If you were to look and go back, everybody has this slide down, right? Let me back up to my first slide here. Hope I'm not going too fast for you. I'm trying not to, but at the same time, I'd want to get a point across. I'll definitely go over my time. The next person doesn't come in until 4 o'clock. Am I going too fast for anybody? Yeah.
Well, that one's a pretty good one there. Yes, it was. And if that thing has a other side to it or not, we'll check it real quick. If there's a continuation here or not.
Started putting it back on the market. Within 3 months of DHEA being put back on the health food stores, the FDA came in and confiscated all of it. Okay, you should remember that. It was in the papers. We're the only ones in our vitamin formulas today. If you look at our vitamin back there, we have DHEA in it. It's in there. The reason we got away with it is because we found another source. Everybody was going to the Mexican yam. We found it in shark oil, but we didn't want to kill sharks, and we finally found it in green mussels in Japan. So we get it from the mussel form. I just hitting on a few things, how some of the preventives that we've come up with. That's why our vitamins are so much in demand. If this legislation passes, we're going to be making vitamins underground. Yeah. Well, we're distributed in Europe through the medical pharmacies over there. My vitamin formula is in Europe, and pharmacies have it. So they write prescriptions over there for it, because I went into the system over there. But you can't get in the system over here. The European system is not the same bureaucracy as it is here. You know, a prophet has no honor in his own land. Oh, there's a big fight going on. There's a huge fight going on. And by the way, the main guy behind it all is your wonderful Ted Kennedy. He's getting paid off a huge sum of money from the lobbies of the drug companies. So everybody is writing to Kennedy and Dianne Feinstein and I forget who up here. There's all kinds of stuff. Go to your health food store and get involved with the fight, you know. It'll cause a civil war if it gets passed. It will. What? There aren't any foods. You know, you take a potato. Today's potato 50 years ago. There's 50 times more E in the potato 50 years ago. There's no nutrition in food today at all. Very little. Okay, so now here we are. I'm going to show you something real quick. Oh, I know. I got to add to it more yet. Yeah, I want to show. I also have the omega 3 too. No, it's in my formula. It's in there. Our formula, we have it. It's a spray. We spray herbs right down on a powder. We use a non-toxic gelatin capsule. We don't even compress it with. There's no artificial anything in there, and it's not even compressed. There's no fillers, binders, or anything. It's so far out, the formula. It takes $1 million worth of equipment just to produce our vitamins. To give you an idea, a friend of mine really got into them, and he owns a big company over in Tempe, Arizona, and he bought all this equipment just to make our formula. Okay, so anyway, now let's look at something here. Let's say we just eaten some protein, because protein makes hormones. I'm going to show you how ELF works now. Okay, what happens is, here comes the protein in. Now, you know, okay, so here's this protein. Let's just say we eat a tomato, right, which is a good protein source. Okay, first of all, this is now coming in. This is the DNA of the tomato. By the way, it would be a left spin, polarizing to the left. Things that would polarize electrons to the right would be poisons. Things that go to the left would be not. That's where the terms dextrorotary, lavarotary comes in. Lavarotary is polarizing to the left. Okay? If it were strychnine or something, it would be poison to the body. It would be going in the other direction. But even though everything is polarized to the left coming in, with the exception of vitamin E, the body can't use it that way. It has to switch it over to the right. It has to look at it a mirror. It mirror images itself. So in the body, we have 8 amino acids already in here. Here's the basic essential 8 right here. We've heard if you assimilate a protein, you have to have the 8 essential, right? The 8 essential amino acids generates a frequency response of 3.58 megahertz, which is the same as a chroma oscillator in a color television set, strangely enough. And what it's generating here, this radar pulse or a sonar pulse, like a bat when it flies with no eyes, it can see. The body works the same way on a micro level. It has to generate this. The process of generating that is sending out what's called messenger RNA, messenger ribonucleic acid. As soon as the body sees this is the proper, this is the left spin, it does a spiral back and the energy comes back. And then what happens is, it says, okay, look, this is the right stuff, it's left spin, we're going to connect to this. It disconnects a certain amount, it'll send out a frequency, it'll disconnect some of this DNA that just came in, and this DNA will then move over. Now it's called transfer RNA. Okay? And this now connects over here to the new, to the old system. And as it disconnects, it changes polarity and goes from a left spin to a right spin. This is where, once again, chromium is very important as a mineral, not for the immune system, but now as a functioning thing for assimilation. You know, in weight control, chromium is very important also. And there's a new, we use a thing called chromium picolinate in our vitamins because it's a patented process of a high transfer of chromium. Because a lot of problems vitamin companies have is when they make a vitamin, they don't have the right enzyme factors to it, and you don't assimilate anything. So it's really important. And if your vitamins have copper or iodine in them, don't even take them because your body's got way too much of both. Okay, so this is what happens. And this process is going on. Okay, enter ELF. Here comes ELF. ELF comes up, and ELF has on it. ELF is a very slow waveform. It's maybe 1,200 miles across one oscillation, whereas light frequency is so dense you can't even see it. It's just light, you know, generates photons. So within that big long carrier will be a 3.58 megahertz. This is also one of the reasons why high voltage, you know, I use back screen televisions. We don't use, in our house, we don't try not to watch these televisions like that. We have the rear screen projectors because they don't produce a lot of radiation. But say you get an ELF, ELF confuses this. And so what happens is ELF will confuse this, and when the body sees a protein coming in, the ELF will assimilate a bad protein. And the bad protein, let's say this tomato was sprayed with malathion, right? So this tomato is 30% toxic. The body should take the 30% of the tomato and throw it out and accept the rest of it. But what happens is the body doesn't know any better because ELF is here. You see what I mean? So with ELF being there, the body now assimilates that. When it does that, it forms in the body what's called an antigen. Okay? And this is stored in the mast cell of the body. So, if you want to check and see if this is going on in your body, take a large, I recommend 1 gram of B3. B3 is an antihistamine enzyme which will release this trapped stuff from your body and it'll come out in your system. And it releases the toxin. And when the toxin hits your arteries, it throws off histamine, which gives you the flushing. Okay? When you wear the receptor and take our vitamins, you won't flush unless you're allergic to something. If you're allergic to something, then you might still flush. Okay? And I can demonstrate, I have my glue here, how the receptor works at 3.58 megahertz, which has to do with the size of it and the length of the chain. Take this off for a second. The receptor is one device. Get this thing off because this microphone cord is tangled all around it. No, I'll get it. There's so much muscle, some muscle testing, I'll show you something. But it hasn't been tested by me or my staff. Somebody that's new. So. Okay, come up. You don't have a receptor on or anything, right? Good. Never worn one, right? Good. Okay, this is glue. This is going to short circuit not only that frequency, it's going to short circuit all frequencies. First of all, let me test your strength here with a muscle test. Okay. Put your arm straight out. Okay. Throw it sideways like that. So the audience can see. Now make a fist. Now relax for a second. I'll get you in position. Now make a fist. Now when I push down, resist. Resist. Okay, you feel that? The strength level?
Yeah.
Okay, now breathe this glue.
Breathe the glue?
Yeah, go ahead and start breathing it. Same thing. It's short, sir. You know, put your arm back up. Make a fist. Now resist and breathe the glue. Feel the difference?
Yes.
Okay, now stop for a minute.
Cement.
Yeah, it's pretty poisonous.
Oh, good.
A little bit faster than the atmosphere, but not much.
Okay.
Okay, put your arm back up. Okay, now make a fist. Now resist. Put the glue back. Resist now. Resist.
Oh, good.
See the difference?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to get across. I'm trying to show you what it is. It takes forever to show you how it works. It'll take a whole other seminar, but it works. No, you assimilate the toxins. It allows your body to process them. For example, at the digestive level, on the ELF levels, it tells the body to increases the receiver, because the 3.58 megahertz comes out. And the phase shift that it's looking for going back, if it's not there, like if it's a toxin, like an antigen, this is way off, okay? So what happens is, it tells this frequency, it keeps this frequency over here in tune with what it should be, because ELF is over here saying, hey man, whatever comes back, it's cool, you know? Just, it doesn't matter. Just random, it turns this into a random noise generator. So what happens is, the receptor is stabilizing this guy. And what happens is, the next phase of the receptor, what I'll get into now, has to do with the endocrine system, which is why we have a stone in the receptor, as an example. I'll show you that next. Everybody's hard to understand what we're going pretty fast here, you know. I'm trying to make it, every time I do a seminar, I try to make it simpler. Okay, now we got the chain. Now we come over here to the endocrine glands, of which we have 7 endocrine glands. Okay? 7 of these guys. Okay, these 7 endocrine glands are all tuned once again to one of the 7 levels of consciousness that we were talking about. Okay? Now, the endocrine glands have to release these hormones in the bloodstream because they're storing the hormones. So what happens is, by vibration, is how they release the hormones into the bloodstream. Okay? So what are vibrations? Okay, sound. Okay, light. Color. Lunar energy, for example, the moon, okay? Stellar energy, the sun. All these things have an effect, okay? So now everybody, you know, we're on 7 different frequencies here. In other words, we're on 7 different rays, and everybody's polarized to one of those 7 colors that I showed you. You have a tendency for some of them. She might like music in C minor. He might like it in G major. You know, everybody might like, depending on what you are, where you are, in tune, right? So this is why you have a colored stone. We muscle test you. We have 7 different colors of stones that we use. And it could be a ruby. It could be a tourmaline. And you muscle test to find out the frequency that you're most receptive to. Because the one you're most receptive to is the one that you're the weakest in. And that's the one you need for strength. Okay? Let's say that you have a rainbow frequency of 7 colors and you're weak in the stomach. Okay? If you're weak in the stomach, you need yellow. So you wear one of these receptors maybe for a year or two with a yellow stone in it, like a citron or something, and pretty soon you're not feeling it anymore. Because now the yellow is strong, pretty strong, but what was the next, you know, before it was yellow-violet. Violet would have been the second weakest color, but now yellow is strong, so then we go to violet. You might test and you need an amethyst, see? And you might find your music taste would have also changed. Those kinds of things. In the sound, what we do for sound, because, you know, the cell comes from, a frequency comes out of the cell is from sound. It's the sacred word. With the Pleiadians, with Sannyasi, a number of years ago, they brought their ships over to Switzerland and we recorded the sound out of them. Okay? And what we work with sound is in the timber, because it's just as important as everything else. It's important to have the sound with the receptor and blah, blah, blah. So we found that first of all, the timbre was more important, you know, as far as sound, as far as reaching interdimensional characteristics. The reason that the timbre is so important is because the timbre is not what you normally are getting. You're usually getting improper timbres for the sound to stimulate the body to reproduce. Improper timbres would be the sound of the motor on that slide projector, crowd noise, ambulances, freeway noise, jet aircraft taking off. And if you think about during the day, you hear more disharmonious sounds than you do positive sounds. So what happens is, it's like taking a cell and shooting noise at it. You know, eventually, when you shoot noise at a cell that's negative, the cell starts to become deadened and doesn't hear the proper things anymore. So what we did is we got into timber. So the first thing that Sannyasi explained to me was, well, the proper multi-timbral instruments that have been brought here by us, one of them was the sitar. In India, they have the sitar. And the sitar was brought here by the Brahmins. And the sitar, if you listen to what's called a raga, which is the way they play it, starts out slow and builds up until the thing is really screaming. You know, when it's really screaming, some people say, my God, you know, this thing is playing so fast I can't handle it. It's nerve-wracking to hear a sitar at full bore with a good player because they're so toxic. They're not ready for it. You've got to build up to that. But when you can build up to it, it becomes divine music. And when it stops, you reach bliss. Very simple. So what we did is we took the Pleiadian ship, which has a timber sound in itself because it's sound, power, light separated. And Jim Delatoso and some others out there broke the sound down into sub-frequencies. And we were able to, through new synthesizer technologies, one's called subtractive synthesis, another one is called linear synthesis, we were able to create these sounds on synthesizers. So what I did is I started producing music, and I got into the music business, which I'm currently in also, producing different albums, musical albums, that do something for your body. The first one that we produced was called The Fellowship, which you hear out there, where we use an actual 90 minutes. It's like a rock opera. And you'll hear a Pleiadian ship for 90 minutes on there, sometimes very subtly. And you'll hear regular multi-timbral instruments wrapped around that, and it'll take you on a journey. What will happen is, when you first hear music like that, it may be a little strange at first. Like, I work with a lot of rock stars that listen to my music, but when they first heard it, they saw it was a little strange, but they listened to it, and what happened is it would clear the negative sounds that they had in their body out, and then you got to have it all the time. So you'll find once you get used to it, you'll have to hear it every day, probably for a month. Then you probably want to take a week off and not hear it at all because it makes you feel strange the other way. You're too sensitive, you know. So you want to kind of come back down again. And you'll see what I mean because you get really high. And you come back down and you'll play it again. And you'll finally find your frequency how often you play this thing in your car or your house or whatever. And we usually synchronize it with lasers and some of the other devices. The next album that we did was it was called Atlantis Rising, where we sampled dolphins and whales. And we went from a very high extraterrestrial and deep space meditation sound to a underwater kind of frequencies. And so we mapped the whole next album, and that was about a 50-minute long album, which I just added a new song to, which is coming off our newest album, where we took through this whole water experience. Then the next album I did is I took a Pleiadian ship sound. We went to Europe, and I worked with a Japanese master over there who does Japanese bowls and different Japanese sounds, and I used three synthesizers, and we did an album called The Galactic Meditation. On that album, what happens is it's for deep meditation. I would recommend The Fellowship and The Atlantis, and then The Galactic.
Well, I hate to butt in like this, but... Okay.
And then the next album I did was with Stephen
Halpern.
We're going
to continue this little puppy next week.
Stephen's here. And we took the Gaia...
Because we're running out of time. We have run out of time, so we'll see more of this next week, next Saturday night. Until then, we'll see you Friday night.